this morning is that you would be, in fact, our joy, our righteousness, our source of hope and comfort. No matter what difficulty we're facing, Lord, we know that you walk with us. You said you would never leave us or forsake us. Your most often repeated command was, "Fear not, for I am with you." Lord, thank you for your abiding presence. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I said our title this morning for the message was The Sound of Music. Now, my precious wife gently coerces me to watch The Sound of Music every Christmas. A lovely movie, and I've actually learned to appreciate it. The older I get, the more I like it. But conversely, if I'm going to watch The Sound of Music, I insist that she watches The White Christmas with Bada Boom Bing Crosby. So quid pro quo, honey. The Sound of Music, a story of the Von Trapps. The real Maria Von Trapp, as you saw in our video highlight, said, "Music acts like a magic key which opens the most tightly closed heart." And isn't it true that music is the universal language? I mean, I grew up listening to Carlos Santana and Creedence Clearwater Revival and the Beatles. They came on the scene way back when, back in the late 60s, and we all dressed like it, wanted to be the Beatles. Great music. Country and Western music, you learn a lot about pop culture from country and Western music. They just call it country music, but back when I was growing up, it was country and Western. Music of all different stripes. We watched the Michael Jackson movie the other night as a family. Michael Jackson, incredible talent. And it's a really good, what would you call it, biopic? A really good treatment of his early developmental years, how he was growing. His father was very abusive and strict, and the things that he had to go through, really heartbreaking, but everything was about being a success. And Michael Jackson grew up with no friends because he was always with his brothers practicing under his dad's whip. Interesting movie. Now, it got like a, I think like an 89 on Rotten Tomatoes. I mean, the audience was really positive about it, but the critics were not big on it because it didn't go into the allegations of the sexual abuse, the child abuse, or things that had been leveled against him. But there is apparently a sequel that's coming out that will go into more of those other details. There's another one called Square One on Netflix that deals with the allegations against him, which were never proven in court. And you know, as a former police officer, the tendency is to judge people well before they ever get to court. But you know, everyone is presumed innocent until proven guilty. But when you're a big icon in the music industry or in the entertainment industry, people are going to make their judgments long before it ever gets to court. But something that Michael Jackson said in that movie was very telling. And you see it in our world today. People are craving attention. And that's why we have iPhones. I have an iPhone. And MeTV instantly. None of the younger generation even know what MeTV is. But for us that want to watch some of the reruns of Carol Burnett, yeah, we're there. But he says something very telling. He says, He said to his new manager, he says, "You know what? My vision, my dream is to travel around the world and have thousands upon thousands of people thronging into the auditoriums where I perform." And it wasn't so much a desire for ego or self-exaltation, I think, as much as a way to kind of affirm who he was as an individual. So it's very interesting to kind of get a sneak peek into the psyche of Michael Jackson. I remember taking the kids down to Disneyland, and there was one of the shows that they had there was a 3D show, and it was called Captain EO, and amazing, amazing music that he brought to the screen in that 3D presentation. But as you look around the world, there's a lot of musical talent. And yet so much of the music that we hear isn't about God at all. And music is wonderful because, you know, it can comfort us. It can encourage us. It can inspire us. Music is wonderful. It brings nostalgia, memories of the past. Music is fabulous, and we enjoy music, and I enjoy music of all different kinds, but I want us to think critically this morning about the music that we listen to, and what is the song of the redeemed that brings us back to knowing who Jesus is and being thankful for what he's done in our heart. And we all recognize that music has a unique ability to move us. A song can instantly bring back memories, comfort a grieving heart, or inspire hope. Yes, indeed. But the Bible teaches that music is one of the evidence of a life that is filled with the Holy Spirit. And we'll get into some verses. If the Holy Spirit is at work in you, he's going to place a song in your heart. In spite, and again, we don't deny the reality of the deep, deep pain that we all go through. But it's a declaration that God is even greater than the enormity of our pain. And when he said, I'm with you, even until the end of the age, we can draw hope and we can draw comfort so that you can have grieving and sorrow running parallel tracks. Jesus said that he's a man of sorrows, well acquainted with grief. He was despised and rejected and estranged in relationships. He experienced it all. And yet, he said, I came to do the will of the Father. And he found peace in that relationship, support and encouragement. But the evidence of a Spirit-filled life is someone who has a song. Ephesians 5, thank you, Mike, for reading and for praying again. Don't be drunk with wine. This is the new... I'm reading from the new, not English version, but it's the it's a modern translation. So it's not the King James that I memorized all my scriptures. But listen, do not be drunk with wine. And he's saying that to the people in Ephesus because that was just part of their culture in terms of pagan worship. They would use drugs and alcohol in the pagan celebrations to reach an altered state of consciousness. So he says, don't do that. When you come to church, don't expect to use drugs and alcohol to reach an altered state. And don't practice that aside from your relationship with Christ or alongside your relationship with Christ. Instead, be filled with the Holy Spirit. And when you're filled, what does it say? Singing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. And I'll explain what the difference is between those three among yourselves and making music to the Lord in your hearts. Isn't that beautiful? And like the gal said, beautifully said, so appreciated what she had to say. You know, you're stuck in traffic. You can get frustrated with the drivers or with the wait. Sing a song to encourage your spirit. And today I want us to consider three truths about the music that God produces in the hearts of his people. And I want you to look again at that verse of Ephesians. Don't get drunk with wine, where is the ruination of your life, but rather be filled with the Holy Spirit, singing psalms, hymns, spiritual songs. Singing is the natural result of somebody who's filled with the Holy Spirit. So here's three points, three truths to consider about the music that God wants to produce in your heart. The first point is the source of music. Where does the music come from? And the text says simply, it's a Spirit-filled heart. That's where the music comes from, a Spirit-filled heart, in capital S, right? Spirit. I mentioned Michael Jackson this morning. Just think of a musical talent who's really on top of the charts right now. I mean, they kind of come and go. I'm thinking about more recently, Casey Musgraves, some of the country singers, Lainey Wilson. Who else? Jelly Roll. He's been really popular lately. Lizzo was popular. Seems to have ebbed a little bit. Oh, well, what about Taylor Swift? I mean, she's an absolute icon, and she just got married to Travis Kelce over the weekend. Think about some of the incredibly musical, talented people. But in this text, Paul isn't talking about musical talent. And the Holy Spirit isn't looking for polished performances, but for transformed hearts. I want to read to you from Colossians 3:16. It says, let the message about Christ, let the message, or let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, is the way I memorized it. Let the message about Christ in all its richness fill your lives. Sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs to God with thankful hearts. Now that sounds like a repetition of Ephesians 5:18, doesn't it? Very similar. Again, it's a heart filled with Christ. It becomes a heart filled with praise. Isn't that beautiful? It's the truth. Psalm 33, verses 1 through 3. The psalmist, there's a psalm for every sigh, as they said. But listen to what the psalmist said. Sing for joy to the Lord. Sing a new song to him. Well, what was the old song? What were the top chart songs back in the days of King David? I don't know. Sing a new song to him. And it's a song of the redeemed. That's what it's referring to. Throughout Scripture, redeemed people are always singing. And I'll give you some examples. Israel sang after the crossing of the Red Sea. And then you've got David who sings after God's deliverance. Another example is Paul and Silas sang while incarcerated in the very depths of the prison. And then you've got the saints. In the book of Revelation, a snapshot through that book, a prophetic look at what life, what that eternal existence will look like. And all the saints through all the ages around the throne, and they're singing songs of the redeemed. How's your song this morning? One of the best ways to evaluate your spiritual health is to ask, is there gratitude in my heart? Is there praise on my lips? Does Christ naturally come into my conversations? Yesterday, I had the privilege of meeting with a congregant, a dear, precious lady, served in the military. Her husband was an aviator, and I think, Roy, you said he flew, what kind of plane was it? Phil flew, I forget which kind of plane. He flew for the BC government, right. But he was a military man as well. But she's dying of pancreatic cancer, and she asked me to come by the previous week, and then last week we met again to kind of plan her celebration of life. She lives in the Amica Beachwood. She's a lovely lady, gracious lady, and even though she's dying of cancer, she was dressed to the nines, looking beautiful, looking elegant, and she had a song in her heart, which was so touching. And then her son, Paul, who's been one of the top cybersecurity, he was a major in the military, cybersecurity for our Canadian military. She wanted me to share the gospel with him. And that was very important for her, that he gets to hear the truth about who Jesus is and what he's done for us. And I was praying and asking the Holy Spirit, please enable me as I go to be the arms and hands of Jesus and give me the wisdom. But it was like the Holy Spirit just took over and I began to share the gospel. And Paul's wife, Linda, is a beautiful lady. She knows Jesus as her Savior. And I shared the gospel, and it was a succinct 5-minute snapshot of God's riches at Christ's expense, right? God's riches at Christ's expense. And Linda said, wow, she said, that's the most succinct explanation of the gospel I've ever heard. And you could see that she had a song in her heart as well. And Paul, he said, look, he says, I want to get together with you. We got to have a beer together at the Anavets, and we got to talk more about this. And he just sat there stunned. He says, I've learned something today. I told him, I said, look, there's no good people in heaven, right? There's no good people. And that's mind-blowing, because a lot of people think you got to be good to get into heaven. No, I said there's no good people, only forgiven people. And we talked about how that forgiveness is possible through Jesus Christ and how he puts a song in our heart. But just to see the song in the hearts of people, a family that's going through a difficult time, he never leaves us or forsakes us. What a wonderful experience to be with Gwen. And just remember her and her family in prayer as we prepare her celebration of life, which will be coming shortly as the Lord wills. What a blessing she is. So does Christ come naturally into my conversations? Now, a spirit-filled believer may not always be smiling. That would be a bit goofy and a bit unreal, wouldn't it? But there will be an underlying song of hope because Christ has redeemed each of us. So here's the key truth. Point number one, where's the singing, the source of music? Where's it come from? When God saves a sinner, he places a new song in their heart, a song the world can never manufacture because it flows from redemption rather than emotion. Does that make sense? Number two, the significance of music. Music's very important to our world. But the music that we're talking about is the kind of music that exalts the Most High God. Dr. Howard Hansen said that music can be soothing or invigorating, ennobling or vulgarizing. It has the power for evil as well as for good. Music itself, as you know, is powerful. I remember as in the early 70s, I'm riding my chopper and I've got hair down to here, and God had been working in my life, and I'd listen to those Beatles songs. You know, the one, Spirit in the Sky? And if I asked some of you in my age category to sing Spirit in the Sky, you would stand up and you would start singing. Yeah, gonna go to the Spirit in the Sky. I said, wow, it's a Christian song. I would say that about a lot of stuff in culture. Any mention of the Spirit, or I would completely, you know, flip it into a Christian thing even when it wasn't. And my brother would get bugged by me. Music is powerful. And that's why one must ask not simply, do I enjoy this music, but where is the music leading my heart? Very important question. Paul begins this section with an important command. He says, don't act thoughtlessly, but understand what the Lord wants you to do. Do you monitor your thoughts? Do you evaluate the books you read, the music you listen to, the media that you absorb? Don't act thoughtlessly, Paul says. Understand what the Lord wants you to do. The purpose of Christian music is ultimately not self-expression, but the exaltation of God. And I wanted to include this reading from the book of Revelation, chapter 5, verses 11 through 13. And I want to read the whole portion to you because it provides a beautiful picture of eternity for the redeemed. Listen for their song in these words. Worthy is the Lamb who was slaughtered to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. They're trying to find more adjectives. And then I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and in the sea, they sang. Blessing and honor and glory and power belong to the one sitting on the throne and to the Lamb forever and ever and ever. I want you to note that around God's throne, countless angels and redeemed saints are singing, Worthy is the Lamb. We celebrated the Lamb without spot or blemish this morning. And they're singing. And they sing because Jesus Christ is worthy. And he alone redeemed them by his blood. Now, everyone remembers Johann Sebastian Bach. Brilliant musical talent. Did you know he often signed his compositions with the initials S.D.G.? Do you know what that means? S, D, G. Yes. It means sola, Deo, Gloria. And here you're saying, what does that mean? It means to God alone be the glory. And here's what Bach understood. He felt that music was never an end in itself. It was an act of worship. That's how he approached his craft. That's how he built his artistry. And Mike, I know with your writing and your business plans, business with a purpose, it's built on the premise and the platform of exalting God. Whether we're in business, whether we're in some other part of the marketplace or a professional career or a musician or an actor, there's that heart that says, I want my craft in some way to glorify the Lord. When I'm watching a soccer match and we watched our Team Canada play brilliant for the first half, they played brilliant right through the whole soccer match with Morocco. They were amazing. Well, I remember there was a guy by the name of David on the soccer team. And after they'd won their match prior to this, I remember him on his knees and just pointing to heaven and praying and thanking God. And that's something, you know, I pray, I want Team Canada to win, but I always pray, Lord, for whatever the team is, I pray that there'll be somebody there that will give a testimony, a song of the redeemed to you. And I'm always amazed how many Christian athletes there are in so many of the different sports that are represented. And my heart just sings every time I hear someone share a song of the redeemed. It's a beautiful thing. So here's the application. Every one of us listens to music throughout the week. I have Sirius Radio, so I'm serious about music. Right? The question is not whether we love music. The question is whether our music helps us develop our love for Christ. Does it strengthen your faith? Does it remind you of God's truth? Does it encourage holiness? Does it draw your heart away from Him? Think about the music. I've listened to some of the music periodically that my son used to listen to, my younger one when he was, and man, some of the F-bombs, some of the F-bombs that were in there were not easy to, I said, buddy, come on, man, what are you listening to? That's mind pollution. No, it's self-expression, Dad. It's creative artistry. It's license, yeah. But here's the truth. The music that fills our lives often reveals what fills our hearts. Every song offered by God's people should ultimately point to the glory of God. Well, we've talked about the source of music, the significance of music. Just talk briefly about the style of music. The style of music. You know, we used to say, in the pastoral ranks, when the pastors would collaborate, we had a joke, and the joke was this. It said, what's the difference between a terrorist and a worship director? What's the difference between a terrorist and a worship director? And the pastor would reply, you can negotiate with the terrorist. Oh, wait for it. It'll sneak up and grab you. Okay, I laugh at my own jokes. Forgive me. So we make a lot about the style of music, don't we? The style of music. And there's always the music wars between the pastor, the congregation and the music people, and because music people are music people, they tend to be very artsy, and they have a sense of where they want to go with the music, and sometimes, as I've worked over 40 years with a lot of different music people, some of the places they want to take you is like it's like a roller coaster ride you don't want to be on, and so try to sort it out with the music people, the style. And people say, look, I'm not going to come to your church because you have guitars and drums. Or some people might say, I'm not going to come to your church because you sing those worn out hymns, right? It's all about style. But my understanding is this. It isn't so much about style as content. If you're going to ascend to the heights of praise, as a believer, if you're going to ascend to the heights of praise, you have to descend to the depths of truth. Christian music without content is fluff. It's superficial. And what you see in many of the conferences and things I go to, they'll get a worship band, and they'll repeat a song with a mantra, and it's like the same words over and over and over again. And the goal is to try to create an altered state of mind and emotion. In a sense, we want to experience this emotional outlet to God. And man, you look at the people in the soccer match or football, the beautiful game. Man, do they get emotional? Oh my gosh. We come to church, and it's just like, you know, it's an unusually dull sermon if the pastor falls asleep in the middle of it, right? But worship is more than emotion. I mean, we should be emotional when we're singing the song of the redeemed. But is our mind and heart profited by a mantra? Yeah, you've stimulated your emotion. But emotion has no power to curb the flesh. It does not. But the richness of God's word. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, and singing with thanksgiving in your hearts unto the Lord. Wow! That's what the Spirit of God produces. But where does it come from? It comes through the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. You can't have God-honoring worship if you're simply worshiping out of your own unredeemed human emotions. Bring your emotions, right? John 4 says that Jesus said the Father is seeking true worshipers who will worship in spirit and truth. And that's a small s referring to the human spirit. We bring our hearts and our energy focused on God's revealed truth. And we're worshiping for who he has revealed himself to be. We're not worshiping to get a buzz. So does the music draw you closer to him or away from him? The style of music. Now, the former president of Muzak Corporation, that's M-U-Z-A-K, as we used to say in California, music affects people psychologically, says the president of this music corporation. Music affects people psychologically and physically. Science has demonstrated that music can influence mood, heart rate, concentration, and even productivity. Now, I want to mention this. While science cannot measure every spiritual reality, Scripture clearly teaches that music can minister deeply to God's people. You say, show me. Show me where it says music can minister to God's people. 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 15, it's the story of King Saul. And again, I wanted to include the whole portion of Scripture so you get the vibe for this. Some of Saul's servants said to him, a troubling spirit from God is troubling you. Let us find a good musician to play the harp. So they went out and they hired Prince for a one-night gig. No. The bluegrass band. Yes. Our own Eric. Bum, 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 bum. No. They went out and got little David. Got little David. And it says, let's find a good musician to play the harp or the electric guitar. And whenever the tormenting spirit troubles you, he will play soothing music. And you will soon be well again. All right, Saul said, find me someone who plays well. He's looking for musical talent. And bring him to me. One of the servants said to Saul, listen, one of Jesse's sons from Bethlehem is a talented harp player. So they got David, comes to the king's palace and plays. And whenever the tormenting spirit from God troubled Saul, David would play the harp, then Saul would feel better, and the tormenting spirit would go away. Is there a basis a therapeutic basis for music in the heart of the redeemed. Look at the three blessings through David's music ministry. Number one, Saul experienced emotional relief. Number two, Saul found physical refreshment. And number three, Saul received temporary relief from spiritual oppression. What should we sing? What should we sing if we're going to experience emotional relief, physical refreshment, and deliverance from the accuser of the brethren? What should we sing? Well, there's three songs Paul mentions. Psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. What's a psalm? Well, the psalms are inspired Old Testament songs that magnify God's character and his mighty works. That's a psalm. Then there's hymns. Songs that celebrate the greatness of God and especially the redeeming work of Christ. And then there's spiritual songs. Spiritual songs are interesting because spiritual songs are more like a testimony of what God has done in my life. So I sing a spiritual song. It's an expression of thanksgiving and a testimony celebrating God's work in the believer's life. So there you have it. Ephesians 5:20 talks about the nature of that song and says, give thanks to everything. Give thanks for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. So I want you to note that thanksgiving and praise become the natural expression of a spirit-filled life. So here's the application. Perhaps your heart is anxious, or maybe you're carrying a burden that nobody else knows about, but you're finding it oppressive. You're finding it a steep climb. And you're tired, and you're weary, and you're needing a lift, something to encourage you. One of the greatest ways to redirect your heart is to begin praising God. I love a song, and I sing this all the time. Something beautiful, something good, all my confusions he understood. All I had to offer him was brokenness and strife, and he made something beautiful out of my life. That's a spiritual song. That's a testimony of God's goodness. Redirect your heart. Begin praising God. And as I said again, praise does not deny the reality of pain in your life. Praise declares that God is greater than our pain. You know, I have a beautiful neighbor. My wife and I visit with them quite often, and they're lovely people. And he's been a professional golfer, and still golfs 72 on 18 rounds. But he just got hit with this rampant arthritis. It just knocked the stuffings out of him. And it's affected his golf game, the very thing that he's been so good at. And it's really hard. Getting older is not for the weak or the faint of heart, is it? Getting older is a tough deal. But I think the thing that has been hard for me is to see that he doesn't have that hope. You know, you have pain, but you have no hope. And we've shared our faith, Dixie and I. We've had such beautiful opportunities to talk with them about the Lord. And we've seen them tear up as they caught a glimpse of how good Jesus is and how he wants to love them and carry them, support them, and give them hope. So we're praying that they'll come to that point of recognize there's someone who is for them. Someone who offers a promise of peace and joy and hope. But I would say that many believers who understand the importance of praise have discovered that God's truth strengthens them during difficult seasons of life. Well, I want to conclude with this. Do you know who the greatest soloist ever was? If you say Pavarotti, Elvis, they called him the king, right? Who was the greatest soloist of ever? Tell me, someone. Tell me the who?
David. The Psalms. David.
Oh, that's a good guess. They're all good guess. David. You're going right on point, aren't you? The scripture says that Jesus was the greatest soloist, not Bocelli, Pavarotti, but Jesus. Hebrews 2:12. Jesus says, I will proclaim your name, speaking about God's name, I will proclaim your name, O God, To my brothers and sisters, I will sing praises to you among the assembled people. And it's an eschatological picture of all of God's people gathered around the throne. And Jesus is leading the chorus with the most resonant voice that speaks of such victory and joy and hope and peace that the world could ever know. It's a beautiful picture. The Lord himself sings among his redeemed people. And if our Savior delights to praise his Father, how much more should you and me? So ask yourself this question. Am I filled with the Holy Spirit? Is there a song of gratitude in my heart? Does my music glorify Christ? Am I encouraging others through my worship? The world sings because their circumstances are favorable. The believer sings because Christ has redeemed us. You see the difference? Our song's not based on our circumstances, but on our Savior. Let's hold that in our hearts and think about it. Father, thank you for sending your Son, Jesus. I think of the verse that says, "For God so loved the world, he wanted the world to sing." For God so loved the world, he gave his only Son, the source of our song, that whoever believes in him would not perish, but would have everlasting life. Lord, what a beautiful anthem that we sing today, all because of Jesus. Thank you. Thank you for your great love. I pray that we'd leave this place with a song of the redeemed. In Jesus' name, amen.